There's Don doing his.
Yep, we're witness to it.
There's no secrets now.
Yeah, indeed. I do have the ability to pause my screen whenever I want to, though.
Anything secret is. Well, I hope everyone's back, and we're now recording. Take it away, Don.
Well, I'm going to take it away by mostly by saying that, take it away, Tom. I will say that the plan of action for the next couple of hours is to have Tom do a fairly brief introduction on the draft and on the Next Generation Science Standards. And then I think Tom will sign off because I understand he's a pretty busy guy, and we will spend the rest of the 2 hours talking about what feedback we want to give and how exactly we want to give that. So I'm going to now turn it over to Tom, and you can either follow along. I'll click on the slides as Tom talks, or you can download the slides yourself, and that way you won't have my join me related stuff in front of it. So take it away, Tom. Thanks very much for agreeing to join us today.
Hello, this is Martha from
Martha
Advertising.
We're just getting started. Tom, are you ready to roll? I don't hear Tom.
Sorry about that.
I
did not agree in time.
Ah. All right. So now we'll have Tom take it away, and I can, like I said, I will click through on my screen, and you can follow along on Join Me, or you can download Tom's slides from the CLN site, and that way you won't have the associated Join Me stuff on top of it. So take it away, Tom. Thanks very much.
Great. Well, thank you very much for asking me to talk with you this afternoon or morning or evening or wherever you might be. I view myself as kind of the house salad here. I'm just going to do an opening piece about the framework and the NGSS and my understanding of some things that you might want to pay more attention to or be aware of, but that you will then get into much deeper discussion as I leave this particular conference call. So the first slide has the red background, points out that I am a senior program officer at the National Academy of Sciences. I co-facilitated this study with Heidi Schweingruber. We had 18 people on the committee. It was usual NRC kind of committee that developed the framework for K-12 science education. We go to the next slide that's entitled The National Academies. It's very important for lots of audiences to know that this is not a federal effort. There has been no federal money put into this project. No animals have been harmed in its development. Mm-hmm. This was strictly private money. The Academy is not a government agency. We are an NGO, and our extension is .edu, and we focus more on evidence. We look at, you know, what do the experts within the fields and the evidence that's within the field tell us that we should use as our advice for the nation. So that's just background. As I say, it's important for some people. I just want to make sure that we're all on that same page. The next slide lays out what the goals for science education are according to the framework. And remember, this is a two-step process. The Next Generation Science Standards are based upon the framework, and that is meant to be their sole base. So there are, within the framework, we do cite that this particular goal. It's not anything terribly revolutionary, except for some of the points, particularly around the science for all and the fact that it is science and engineering and that it is the foundational knowledge. So this is the foundation upon which the Next Generation Science Standards will be built. The next slide describes the vision of the framework. And it's a nice one-sentence statement that really has a lot contained within it. And when I do presentations on this for larger audiences or have more time, I usually spend quite a bit of time delving into this particular piece, and the emphasis that have been added here are things that I've added to it. Just to point out that, you know, this is the vision. Now it is a vision. In the past, we've had the benchmarks for benchmarks for science literacy and science for all Americans and a national science education standards, providing two, you know, very similar visions. But those of us who are at the state level, and I was working with the Maine Department of Education at the time, had to reconcile these two different source documents and how do we deal with their vision as well as their contents. Now we have a single vision, and hopefully we can rally people behind this. And the fact that 26 states have signed on as lead states within ACHIEVE to develop the Next Generation Science Standard, I think, is helping us come to this unitary vision that is espoused here. We do talk about science and engineering. It isn't deep in engineering. It goes to areas of engineering that make more sense to science teachers. We are not trying to replace engineering teachers where they exist within schools, but we're trying to point out that there are significant and obvious overlaps between science and engineering, especially within design process, and that we would do kids a service by pointing out these connections to them throughout their K-12 career. The multiple school years is a very important piece for us, talking about learning progressions, and that's something I would encourage you to take to heart as well and think about how that applies to climate literacy. Actively engage in science and engineering practices, again, based upon the research that we used this as being the first of the three dimensions of the framework practices, is a very important piece, but it is also not meant to be done in isolation of the other two pieces, which are the cross-cutting concepts and the disciplinary core ideas. The next slide is entitled The Framework Scientific and Engineering Practices. The point here is that we are not abandoning inquiry. Unfortunately, what happened in some places was hands-on became substituted for inquiry, and that really is not inquiry in the usual kind of definition. But we thought it would be very helpful if we could expand upon what we meant by the practices. And the important thing here within this slide are the can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Are the four practices that have asterisks after them, because we get a lot of concern that there is no nature of science being addressed within the framework. And it is true that it is not a separate dimension within the framework, but it is an important piece of what we expect kids to know and be able to do. Finally, the second dimension of the cross-cutting concepts, which are the pieces to help kids scaffold their knowledge such that they aren't learning these bits of science in isolation, but that they're able to see across the several domains of science that there are certain concepts that appear time and again and help them understand what is the connection amongst these and how should we attend to them as we think about knowledge of science.
I'm sorry to stop. Does anybody know how to turn off that ringer?
Yeah, if people could just mute their phones, that would help. Thanks.
Well, can we mute everybody?
Don, can you remind us what mute is?
Scott can. It's star 6, is that right?
Yeah, star 6.
I have mine muted. It is star 6.
Thanks.
It seems like it's still ringing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess just persevere.
Let me see if I can talk over it then.
You should all hang up and call back.
I'm hesitant to do that, but if that's what you want to do.
Why don't we finish the talk, and then we can call back for the discussion.
Good.
Okay.
I do want to point out, now I'm beginning to shift a little bit to the Next Generation Science Standards, and I suspect you have looked at them in some detail. My main messages are on the Next Generation Science Standards is, first of all, that this is a draft document. This is the first of two. So it's not done. You'll get another shot at this, but it is a draft put out there to say, this is what we're thinking, this is how we think it might come together, we're anxious for your feedback. And I can tell you, having gone through this process with the framework, that they are anxious for your feedback. So view it as a draft. The second thing is that, you know, you need to recognize that there is a lot in there that you can build on. And I would encourage you to be very positive about what you find that's in there to reinforce that, you know, yes, we're happy to see that the particular learning that we are focused on is represented to some level. Now, it might not be totally to the level that you want it to be, but I would definitely start with a positive to say, you know, we're very pleased to see that this is addressed in this way in this particular document. And finally, you know, just in terms of what you want to do, don't just say, you know, there isn't enough of this or I don't like that. Give them concrete suggestions on how to make it better, how to build upon what's there, how to tie things together better, how to include things that you think are missing but are at least touched on in the framework. And if you can go back to the framework, that's meant to be their foundation as well. But be very concrete on where are your suggestions coming from and how do they help us improve this draft. That's what they're looking for. So I just looked, you know, I went through quickly looking at the draft of the Next Generation Science Standards, and within some of the performance expectations, I saw some pieces that I think, and you will certainly discuss this much deeper in a little bit, but looking at kindergarten and weather and the particular expectations of A, B, and C, I thought that there were some important pieces in organisms and their environment in first grade, second grade, third grade. The next slide, you know, fourth, fifth, middle school, and high school. You know, I would encourage you to look, and again, this learning progression to say, does this move us within these things that you have cited as climate change and the human-induced climate change, or just climate change according to the climate literacy principles? How does this support those particular pieces of the puzzle? And where they are very positive, be very positive about it. And where there are some things that you can have them change about the draft, be very concrete about that. Finally, as you have noted, you know, we are in an unprecedented time in science education in this country. Well, in education in this country, with 46 states looking at Common Core math and ELA, and 26 states on board with the Next Generation Science Standards, things are going to have to shift. And this next slide, entitled "Expected Shifts," now gets more into the classroom to say, so how is this going to affect what happens with our kids and their instruction? You will have noted that these standards are written quite a bit differently than the Common Core Math and Common Core ELA. And I'm hoping that these are going to be more useful to teachers as they figure out what does instruction look like in order to achieve these standards. There will be a particularly complex and perplexing problem as they begin to integrate those three dimensions of practices, cross-cutting concepts, and disciplinary core ideas. Again, that's what the standards are trying to do. You know, give them some advice on how well they're doing it and how they might be able to make it better. Again, we're all concerned about these progressions. You know, we know that you can't do it all in middle school, or you can't do it all in a a single course in high school, what does that need to look like across the K-12 continuum? And that science for all, very important piece, that this is a foundation for all kids. This isn't meant to be their final science experience. This isn't meant to cover all of science. This is the foundation. These are the fundamental things that kids need to be to understand the basics of science practices, cross-cutting concepts, and core disciplinary ideas, but not all of them. We tried that once. It doesn't work very well. The next slide talks about shifts in how science should be taught in the classroom. Again, that might not be so critical for you as you advise on standards, but we need to keep in mind, so what will this look like in classrooms? And here are some things that we're talking about. One of the things we're trying to do is to work much more closely with curriculum materials developers to get them to change, particularly the textbooks that are out there, and not, for example, just have chapter one on the scientific method and then never to address it again. Finally, you know, I hope you all know that the framework is available as a free PDF that makes it very easily searchable by keyword, and that's a handy feature. And again, I would use it as the evidence to tie back to any of your comments because that's, you know, that was the design, was the framework is a foundation, and the next generation science standards are the explication of that foundation now for K-12. And with that, those are my suggestions, my recommendations, and my brief introduction as the house salad here.
Thanks
Tom,
so much.
My question directly related to what you just said at the end, that connections to the framework evidence for arguments that we make about this draft. Can you say a little bit more, to the extent that you understand it, about how Achieve is going to use these comments? If we have time to provide evidence for our statement, does that make a difference, do you think?
Yes, I think, well, you know, and I can't speak on behalf of them. They're a different organization, and I'm not involved at all in this process. I've tried to stay out of it, but I know from, you know, we tried this with the framework. They're basically using the same process that we used with the framework.
Yep.
And the comments that had evidence, that had, you know, connection to, that had let us know that they knew the literature, or they knew the basis from which they were speaking, were much more powerful than just the comments saying, you know, I think the kindergarten expectation C is too broad and doesn't tell kids what to do. You know, that isn't all that helpful. What's more helpful is to say, you know, within the framework on human-induced climate and change at high school, there is this particular expectation. Now, in order to build that expectation, you know, we need to look across K-12, and this is what we would recommend as an example of a kind of sequence of performance expectations that will get us to that particular outcome. So absolutely, lean heavily on the framework.
Another question. This is Frank Niepold over at NOAA. The next to last slide you had in your presentation, you talked about, and if you can go back there, Don, or whoever, I think it's Don, you're probably controlling this.
I'll bring it up.
The implications when it comes to climate about, it's the second sub-bullet, the connections between scientific disciplines. Has there been any discussion on how this would be taught? Because the life, physical, and earth, that's not actually what courses you take in high school, for example. There are other implications that haven't really happened as far as I can tell in the conversation here. But, if we go out and try and implement the framework and the standards today, you're going to find it very hard to do that in 2 years of science.
Oh, I agree
you
totally,
see where I'm
Frank.
Going?
And Yeah, I do. And I can tell you, for example, in Maine, the legislature has just passed a bill that requires that is basically standards-based learning, you know, again. We had this a few years ago, but now it's come back to say we don't necessarily want every kid to take a biology course. What we want is every kid to be able to demonstrate to us that they have met these expected learning outcomes.
Right.
So it moves us away from the titles of those courses more into more of a possibility for an integrated science kind of instruction. That, however, is the whole next level. You know, right now, certainly the standards will influence what it looks like within instruction, but boy, that's something that NOAA could help us with to show. So how do we create a really good learning unit that connects earth science with physical science and asking questions and constructing arguments from evidence? That'd be a wonderful thing.
Well, I mean, there's another implication to it, and I know we want to brief here, is that that the way the standards are set up in the draft, you have to look at, say, the Earth as a System high school set and the climate change set. You have to, and maybe some other ones, to really see how these learning expectations sit across the sets as well as within the sets. Because the connection between climate change and Earth systems is really quite large. But, my colleague in the Weather Service is saying, well, where's weather at the high school level? And, that's an interesting question. So anyway, I don't mean to open it up too wide, but I think your answer is very, very interesting for us to think through. Thank you.
I've just to sort of jump beyond to the next level of that too. I've been wondering just what about the assessment piece of this? So how do we assess this? I guess that's another whole can of beans. But
well, yeah, that's huge, and that's usually the first question we get after we present on the framework or the standard. And it's it's on everyone's mind because they've been beaten so badly with assessment as a mechanism of change. I can tell you there is a study starting up at the National Academy of Sciences that is an assessment framework based upon the framework. So it will examine how might assessment look now, and where are we in terms of being able to make it look that way, where now we integrate these three dimensions. There is a fantastic piece of work that didn't get much traction out of the National Academy of Sciences, but it's called Systems for State Science Assessment, a report that came out in about 2005, and it's a free PDF also. And it did a really good job of examining where are we with science assessment and where do we need to be when we talk about an assessment system that provides us with authentic, sophisticated kinds of assessments and testing.
This is Scott Carley. In some of our email, you talked a little bit about between sort of the framework, I guess, how it plays out in the performance expectations, between breadth and depth. And I wonder whether you might talk a little bit about that, kind of keeps us sort of focused, that we recognize goals here is a broad coverage of science taught and a deep coverage of it.
Well, the committee was initially, the task they were given by the Carnegie Corporation of New York was to identify the core ideas. You know, the mantra that they used was fewer, higher, clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And as the committee got together, they said, it is important that we not do the mile wide, inch deep kind of thing that we have done in the past. But it isn't just the core ideas. It's also the practices, and it's also these cross-cutting concepts. So, decisions were made that here are the few core ideas within life science. Here are the few core ideas within earth and space science. Here are the few core ideas in physical science. And here are the few core ideas in engineering and technology that serve as the foundation for a student who will leave high school and emerge into the world as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't put, there's we heard from lots of communities to say, well, there isn't enough of my particular specialty within this, and it's true that, you know, some decisions were made and possibly not even enough decisions were made to knowing what happens in schools with the little instruction time they have and how that gets used. It doesn't tend to be used for science right now. And so the decision was set, let's try and keep it to these core, go deep within these areas, but also they need to be so foundational that they can be used, that instruction in other areas are able to explain how these core fundamental ideas fit within their particular specialty. So the hope was, the design was to try to go, you know, deep with a few rather than cover a broad category.
Right. Good. Any other questions for Tom? Well, Tom,
thanks very much.
Really helpful to get us started today.
Well, good. I hope, and you know, good luck. You know, make sure you get your comments in on time. And I just encourage you to be very thoughtful about that, about knowing that it's a draft, and be positive where you can, because the fact that there's much in there at all is a thing to celebrate.
Yeah.
And just in time for you to go, the ringing is gone.
And then the phone has stopped. Thank goodness. All right. Well, good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks
so much, Tom.
Take care.
Really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Well, since we have no ringing, we'll go through the process of re-dialing in. So carry on.
I just want to make one. This is Karen Holwig. One more comment. While I was in D.C. A week or so ago, I went to a happy hour at a pub after work with several of the Achieve people, NSF, NRC folks, and the discussion there was around all the people that they expected to receive comments from, including Heartland Institute, the religious right, and all sorts of other interest groups that we know well. And I think that is the basis for Tom's encouragement that we submit positive comments. You know, if Achieve receives a raft of comments from the religious right, they need to have comments from those of us who are on this call that are really evidence-based and strong to argue we've got to keep this.
That's right. And I would add to that while we'll assemble a institutional or organizational response, that I strongly encourage folks to submit individual responses as well, so that we've got power in numbers on the right side. Okay, I guess we'll now transition into talking about the nature of the feedback that we want to provide. Tamara set up a Google form that is here, which you got a link for a few days ago, I think. Karen's plugged in an example response. There's 5 pages. I've added one for additional comments for things that there are documents beyond the 4 that Tamara set up for. So I set up an extra page for those. As I said earlier, I am a bit overwhelmed by trying to figure out how to provide the doubtless complex feedback we'll provide on this complex document. And I think, you know, Tamara laid out a form for us to compile specific feedback on specific items. But I really am unsure of the best way to put all this into a coherent document. So maybe that's actually where we should start, is a little bit about how to structure the feedback.
Don, have you looked at their automated input segment.
Surveys,
I tried to go there and I couldn't get there. So anybody who has, I would appreciate hearing about where it's going to go in the end.
There's a PDF of the survey, which...
But the PDF isn't really all that helpful because it doesn't. You can't do anything with it. It has to be all in the online thing, and that's tricky to use.
Right, it is. But the PDF does give you an idea of what it looks like before you start in. So I've got that open in front of me, and so you can see that it's most of it is a series of Likert things from definitely agree to definitely disagree on the different performance expectations, I think.
Okay, so it is literally a survey.
Oh, yeah.
It is a survey. There are spaces for you to put in text for the performance expectations that you think are unclear. Please explain why. So that line comes up again and again.
Don, can you show us one, if it's okay, one standard? Just so there's an important point. Noah set up a team to actually look at this just the other day, and we went through it in great detail, and we found some things that I think are very helpful for you guys before we jump into too much further.
Yeah, and actually, before I even do that, I'm on the page that takes you to the option to do that. And I started on the search individual performance expectations, and then from our state call, which was actually this morning, sort of realized that was not the best place to start, and that it was much clearer to me to go to the search by topics.
Agreed.
They actually look a lot different between the two presentations, and this is much clearer. So,
if you want to go to the Climate Change High School one, just figure that's where we're definitely going to be looking at that. But there's a whole range. I mean, I have in my responsibility for Noah to look at 26 of these. the really important thing just to frame this for everybody is that the framework that the NRC developed is word for word covered in the blue, orange, and green boxes down below. That text, just so we're clear, is not to be edited.
Yeah.
It's exactly the wording that the framework has. Now, they've taken pieces from different parts, and there's some issues in how they did it, but I mean, I wouldn't waste your time trying to edit that text down there.
Right.
Frank, this is Ted Willard. Just to add a little bit onto that, I think specifically it's the orange text is totally the word-for-word piece. The blue is derived from that, but there's a little bit of for the practice in cross-cutting concepts, Achieve did have to make some decisions about what grade range to put that stuff. It was talked about just as a K-12 standpoint in the framework. But again, I think where you guys are going to probably focus most of your energy is about the content aspect about some of this stuff. So what you said is true there for the disciplinary core ideas.
What about the cross-cutting concepts?
Again, that those were sort of spoken about generally K-12 in the framework, and then Achieve. You can find some PDFs that provide you the matrix that they created. If you go back to the home page, go back one page on the framework.
Go back one.
Go back one. I'm sorry.
Back one more.
Back one more.
Yeah,
and then at the bottom on the left, practices and cross-cutting progression matrices.
I see.
And then you can click on that, and you can get a PDF that shows you their choices for those documents.
Yeah, I've got those too. So there's the...
That's it, yes.
Right, so you can see how these ideas progress across. And it's a little bit hard to look at that and then go back to the survey where you would put that information in relative to that progression. It's a little tricky to there's a lot of nuance to the comment of process. But the just if you can go back to the climate change one, just for example, I think where most of the text changes are going to be is in the students demonstrating understanding CAN, the performance expectations. That text up there is where new words or changing the wording is an option. Down below in the disciplinary core ideas, if you said there's another part of the framework that should be connected to this that's better or should be added, that's a different conversation.
Right.
So I just wanted to. I'm nervous that people are going to start editing things that will never be changed because the NRC framework provides a scientific backdrop or a firewall for changing the wording of the disciplinary core ideas. That's already cooked. You won't be changing that. The NRC is finished.
Good. So we should focus our attention on the white with the black, blue, and red.
Yes. And what that is if you roll over the very top where it says views, you can change the views so you can see. You can highlight different part. Those statements are built from the three color sections below, and so they've aligned these. So that the practices and core ideas in the student performance expectations. Click on that one, Don. The core ideas one. See, when you click on that, it shows you what part of the student performance, and then it says below it's connected to this bullet or that bullet.
Yeah. And when you scroll over a particular phrase, it will bring up a pop-up box of the relevant connected text,
right?
Which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice feature. I didn't catch that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to catch.
Yeah. So you get a little overwhelmed and you're like, oh, Lord, there's so much to do here. So.
But Frank, as you said, there is a bit of a firewall here that really we're only changing these white portions and possibly connections. So.
Yes.
Not so overwhelming, but this is in phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth noting there's also this information below the box to show connections. And again, these are links. When viewed in this way, when I clicked on the view by topic rather than view by grade level, I think. And in this version, these will take me to the associated other standards. That's right.
So explain on those links that you were just on, Don, explain the hieroglyphics there.
Yeah. So, well, the hieroglyphics.
The number letter is the grade level, right?
Right. And then an abbreviation for whatever that particular thing is. So, for example, this one I think is high school physical science energy, if I remember right.
Correct.
Yes, high school physical science energy. So, so high school, middle school are easy to figure out what those things are. And then the second set of letters is the disciplinary core idea. So Earth system science for where my mouse is right now.
Actually, Earth space science.
I'm sorry, thank you. Earth space science. This one
climate.
Was third grade weather climate interaction. Is that what that is? The IA impacts, weather climate and impacts. I don't anticipate that I'm going to memorize what each one of those things mean. You just click on it and find out where it takes you, and that tells you pretty well.
And the NSTA made a nice matrix of all the disciplines and grade levels. Ted, can you send everybody that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I can. Is there a way to send just email it out? I did email it this morning or earlier today.
Yeah, I find that to be very useful.
It is very useful. It's all in one page.
Yep.
I actually printed it out.
Yeah, let's see if I for now got it in my.
Yeah, because
do nsta.org/ngss, and that'll I just one link away from there.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, thanks Ted for joining us.
Yeah.
Yes. Indeed.
Interested to hear what people have to say. Scroll down until you get to a box under what's new. An NSTA collection of documents in May.
This one?
Yeah, click on it.
And so what you have here is pretty much every PDF that existed on the Next Generation website.
It's right there.
All in one-stop shop. And if you scroll down the page.
PDF, it's supporting documents. Right now, up.
Sorry.
It's right up at the top. It's the first link.
Yep.
This
NGS matrix of standards, yeah.
Yeah. This is a great overview.
This is nice.
Yeah, because it has the code and what the code means, and it's split by grade level. It's helpful to kind of lay out your review. Where is climate? Climate is all over this thing.
It is.
It's in first grade patterns and cycles. It's in third grade weather, climate, and impacts. It's in fifth grade in Earth systems and their interactions. And it probably is in stars and solar system for solar variability and, getting the connection to the climate system. It's all over the damn place.
Yep.
It's in life. It's in physical. It's in Earth.
As long as we're here, if we could go back to that web page again, I just wanted to think I thought would be helpful to point out on that. If you click the next link down inside the NGSS box diagram, for those of you who have been trying to decipher the different pieces here, this tries to spell out what all the different elements are as well, that I would recommend for folks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, no definitely. Problem. Thank you. These are helpful.
if you jump to that web page one more time, just scroll down towards the bottom of the page. I mean, the web is really a great way to work on this, but there are direct links to all the PDFs here or up just a little bit. There's two charts. Go to the chart that's above that a second. If you're interested in, for example, right there, just the middle school Earth and Space Science Standards or all of the Earth and Space Science Standards, each of those things, the PDF just of those pages.
Right. But Ted, do you think that the PDF is better to use than the website?
No, I think the website is a better piece to use, but we crafted this in part because we've got a lot of people who are talking about getting together physically to work, and or if you were going to email someone something, a set to review, that these would be useful chunks for, suddenly you've got a high school biology teachers in the school are going to get together and talk about these things after school one day.
Right.
That was the sort of the thinking. I agree the website is better, but not everyone can be physically at the web at a particular time sometimes.
Right. So, are we ready to dig into this, or are there still more table setting?
I think we're ready-ish to dig in.
I think we're ready, and I think what we ought to do is dig in, and if someone has some kind of a format question or whatever in the first round of what we look at, for instance, Frank's suggestion of high school climate, that they should feel free to ask so that we can all get up to speed on formatting kinds of things.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that because I thought this group would be valuable for us just to take a look at the high school climate change demonstration A. Because, I found something there, and I just thought it would be good just to see if we can, since this is an editable section. But the first one that says evaluate and communicate.
Wait a sec. Are we
make that
there?
Bigger.
Are we all there now before you start talking about it?
Sure. Thank you. It's Don has it up on screen.
Yep.
Which letter is it?
A.
Right at the top. Okay.
Right at the top. And this is just, just to see how we feel about this. So students who can demonstrate understanding can evaluate and communicate the climate changes that can occur when certain components of the climate system are altered. And so the question I have for you guys is if you read it again, evaluate and communicate the climate changes that can occur. Can is the one I'm focused on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a very abstract way of approaching this idea.
Mm-hmm.
because have occurred.
Yeah. That's exactly where I was going to go.
As opposed to can occur.
Yeah.
Or no, or just occur. Hi, Frank, it's Margaret.
Yeah.
What about
sure.
Just get rid of can, just strike it?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, how we, you know, if you just play with that a couple times and you're like, well, what's the best way of saying that sentence that is scientifically sound? Because right now it's very ambiguous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are we in common agreement that that's not maybe the most sound way of saying that?
I think the strongest way is have, and then our argument can be because it's using evidence.
Right.
Right.
To bolster.
How about have and are likely to occur?
Mm-hmm.
That have occurred and are likely to occur.
Yeah. Both of those are way better than what's there now.
Yes.
And then we relate that back, as Karen just suggested, to the evidence for that argument.
Yeah.
Which is what our, you know, is part of the climate literacy document anyway, is to make those arguments. Yeah.
I would, just to throw in, I would kind of advocate not doing are likely to there from the standpoint of if you look down to E, example E, where it says use global climate models in combination with other data to predict and explain effect, that I think,
right.
And I think it's you're stronger sticking with what...
Right.
What Karen had said earlier about the evidence standpoint, and to
okay, so now we've got a tense agreement problem that have occurred when certain components of the climate system
have
were
been.
Altered, have been
were,
altered,
have been.
Changed,
are have changed, no.
Have altered? Have been
or have been altered?
Have been, I think.
Yeah, but it's still. Yeah, I mean, and I mean, just to understand that the evidence piece. I mean, would they want us to connect that to because to evidence or you know, because I mean, the other part is evaluate and communicate is a little bit fuzzy as well. You know, using evidence, evaluate, and communicate, or something like that.
How about with the change of certain components of the climate system that have occurred?
Okay, say that again, Karen.
That have occurred with the change of, or the change in, certain components.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I like it.
The climate system.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you're done, Don, if you go back and look at the whatever we're going to call that standard page, if you go scroll down to the third bullet of the orange section, what it says is, you know, this is directly from the framework. You know, geologic evidence indicates that past climate changes were either sudden or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're in, but the question is, should evidence be in the students, in the performance expectation? Should the word evidence be in that first one, or is that implicit?
Well, what does the red part say here?
It looks like... B, when they move into B is when they start getting into the evidence part. When you look at the practice, so, you know, the first part being evaluate and communicate is the practice piece.
Right, right.
So in A, they're obtaining, evaluating, and communicating information. But then when we move into B is when we're getting into engaging argument from evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's missing, actually, the whole... argument from evidence.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm kind of wondering. What are you evaluating when you're evaluating something?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the bullet below, it says geologic evidence. Is it the words they use?
Almost, A and B almost need to be reversed so that you construct the evidence-based argument first and then
communicate on it. Yeah.
How about combining the evaluate and construct, but communicate as a separate? I mean, it's
going just looking through this again. A, the only statement in the core ideas that A is really supposed to be pulling from as intended. Now, we could recommend changes to it, but it's really just focused on the first bullet in under weather and climate there, which is about the, you know, electromagnetic radiation and what happens to it and re-radiation to space, those elements here. So there's a... there's a certain fuzziness, you know, and there are two different ways to go. You could say that ultimately you should be attacking more of these bullets, although a lot of them are covered and will hit already. Or I would argue that the performance expectation itself, the statement, should be more focused about electromagnetic radiation, both absorbed and emitted.
In different parts of the system.
In different parts of the system. Yeah, so that
remind me where ESS2D is in the orange part below, and it's from the framework.
Yes,
all the orange stuff. Yeah. So if you look at any paragraph there, if you look at the in the orange part there, it has weather and climate. It has several different bullets, and at the end of every bulleted statement, there is a letter. Or one or more letters. Like if to the end of the first bullet, there's an A. The second bullet, there's a B, C, D. And that's telling you which performance expectation is addressing this content.
Okay. Above.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So as you look down the list here, the only performance expectation that is addressing the first bullet as intended, at least what they're saying is the case, and what they had meant, is A,
yeah.
And the only one A addresses is that first bullet.
That's a good point, Ted.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got you.
So
Ted, wouldn't it be? I mean, if you take the majority of this, which is all about the different parts of the system,
mm-hmm.
And so dealing with that is one thing, but the majority of this performance expectation has to do with the last line, which is the change.
Yeah, I agreed. And so what I would be tempted to do is to play with the word to the performance expectation to make it more directly targeted about the electromagnetic radiation, because it's say certain components of the climate system are altered. That you could do so many different things that have nothing to do with electromagnetic radiation, and I would be tempted, but. Someone else could make an argument of, well, no, we should make this broader and make it apply to more of these bulleted pieces. But I like I would like to make sure that first bullet does get directly addressed in some way. And so,
yeah. I understand.
How about something after the...
Somebody's breaking up.
I wonder if I might jump in. This is Gene Fry. I'm a resource economist and husband of Jane Hines Fry. I haven't been on any of these earlier calls, but Jane asked me to sit in. And I'm most of what I look at is the impact of climate change on the biological world and how humans value that. And I'm seeing a gap between the earth sciences and the life sciences, where we talk about evolution and ecosystems. And what I see in the life sciences is pretty academic in terms of looking at stuff that's relevant 20, 50, 100 years ago. But it's not looking at the impact on agriculture, and very much or very strongly extinction of species, especially as they relate to climate change. Now, you folks have, I think, far more familiar with this than I am, and I'm wondering, is this something that what I'm talking about is something we don't aren't going to get into the curriculum for high school students, or is there some way to weave this in either to the earth sciences or to the life sciences?
So you offer a really interesting point, and my quick answer would be is in high school, there is a natural selection evolution set of ideas, and then there's another one called links among engineering, technology, science, and society. And then there's and human sustainability is another one in high school. So between those five, what you're talking about should show up in the core ideas, but whether it shows up in the student expectations clearly is another matter.
Well, the effect on those climate change does not really show up.
Yeah.
Talking about evolution as the environment changes and how the numbers of some species might increase. It's not very specific. I mean, climate change is causing very large-scale movements in habitable regions for many, arguably most species by the end of this century.
Right.
And extinction of many. And there may be room in the life sciences section to do something. I wrote up a little something, but I don't know if that's what this group is involved in at all.
I think your point is very important, husband of Jane. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name.
Jean.
It's Jean.
Jean. Thank you. Because what the biological, the integration of the biological systems in the expectations will do is enhance the relevance of all this to kids. If it's where my food comes from and it's where, you know, the things that affect me come from, as opposed to affecting something in outer space. And so that's what I take away from your comment, and I'm not sure, I assume that's what one of those things that you're getting at.
But, you know, Don, scroll down to the bottom of the orange section and look at the last bullet. Now, it's a little ambiguous. But in essence, the end of that does imply, it's not specific to what you're talking about, but it's in there. And it's
related. Can you go up to the end of the white section, Don?
Right. Then you read that, and it's lost completely. I mean, I find the performance expectations are sometimes very vague.
Right.
And the richness of the disciplinary idea is lost when you get to the performance expectation.
Let me read something I drafted. This would affect the life sciences, but it certainly flows out of what we see in the earth science and climate change is happening. And just get a reactions or thoughts to this. There's a statement D about natural selection and evolution, and I've suggested this clarification statement. Possible investigation.
Did you say it's D?
Yes, under natural selection and evolution.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's here.
And I guess I've perhaps revised a bit what they have to make it a lot stronger. A possible investigation could study the effects of rapid systematic climate change and altering the numbers distribution and very existence of many species, including wheat, rice, and corn.
So you're basically talking about taking under natural selection item D, which says obtain and communicate information describing how changes in environmental conditions can affect the distribution of traits in a population and cause increases in the number of some species, the emergence of new species, and the extinction of other species. And you're suggesting that this would be an additional statement, one of those little red statements, a clarification statement?
Yeah, I think the black...
Can we go to high school?
I thought I was in the right place, but that's not what I'm reading is letter D, so...
Yeah,
you're in middle school right now.
Sorry. That's the wrong line.
Don, you didn't make it past middle school. What's up?
Yeah. Trouble.
This is hard to do.
This is Marta. Can you guys tell me where you are? I'm so sorry to be so
late. Well, that's what we're trying to do right now. Is
just follow along in the join me. I think you're going to find it if you can do that, Marta.
Okay.
Because that way you can see what Don is showing.
Okay, so we're going down a little bit on this page to D, like in dog.
Yep.
Yeah, to this right here.
Hey, can you guys hear me? This is Mark.
No, we can.
Yep.
Don, go down just a little bit more so we can all see the text.
I'd like to make a comment here if I could.
There, fine, stop.
This is
great.
A very important. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm struggling to get a word in edgewise here, but I think this is a very important point, and I've been looking through very closely as well to see how not just climate change but global change is handled. And I think to the point that was made earlier about how in a way they're trying to break through the boundaries of the traditional biology course, physics, chemistry, et cetera, which in itself is going to be a huge challenge because the status quo is going to be upset about that, I think, in some cases.
Yeah.
But my point here is that I think actually from what I'm seeing, global change is pretty well covered, certainly in the life sciences, and we do need to make some suggestions there, but there's one of the life science for high school is also interdependent relationships on ecosystems, which maybe doesn't explicitly talk about climate change, although it does in the disciplinary core ideas. But I think there's a lot in these, including the one here we're looking at, natural selection and evolution, that really build on the framework in terms of not just climate change, heat trapping gases, but biodiversity issues and impact on water quality and so forth. So from what I'm seeing, and to go back to Karen's point about we have to be very positive make the point that these are, based on a really strong framework and that we're making some small suggestions of how this can be improved. But overall, from what I'm seeing, I think it's very strong. And, we can argue about some of the language here and there, but I'm not quite sure how we're going to be able to as a group, really take a look at the whole scope of this because it is so large, and we can drive ourselves crazy trying to wordsmith a particular principle.
Well, Mark, you raised a point that I was wondering was are we really going to put in comments as a group, or is the point of this call, which is now just over its hour, to really help orient all the members and maybe help us all see kind of where we're going, but really the value is that network is going to put in a lot of individual comments? Because,
that's a very, very good question about our scope as a group and our scope as individuals may be different. I would like to ask, in the scope of this conversation and this group, where do we think, as the Climate Literacy Network, our energy can be best directed if it's from the group as a whole? And I have to say my brain is working in two ways on this. Number one, it's very difficult because climate is all over the place, as you said, but it seems to me that the obvious place where most of the stuff is kind of at the weather section of the elementary, the weather and climate section of the middle school, and the climate change section of the high school. So maybe as a learning progression about climate change, those are especially strong, or maybe we should be tying in some of those sections that address change, period. I'm not sure. But I think as influence is concerned, I think our strongest hope for influential change may be in establishing those red statements, the clarification, the boundaries that come at the end of the statements, the performance statements themselves, because those, I think, are really pretty good, and that's what we want to give some real strong positive feedback on.
So, if I could just add one slight modification to what you offered. I think if we as a network focused in on, say, you know, climate change in the high school, earth sciences, and human sustainability, and made a concerted, strong network statement on one or two or three, and then, you know, focused on, as individuals, the all the feeder and supporting ideas, which we were just looking at the natural selection and evolution one, which I was expecting to look at, and I agree with the previous statements that D is strong. There's a lot of good opportunities. There's no red there yet, but we could, you know, but I don't know if we have to do that as a network. But I think we need to think through what the network's going to do and what individuals are going to do.
Yeah, and thinking about the logistics of managing that too, and trying to coordinate this response has been keeping me awake at night. I'm trying to figure out how to do it. And from what Frank said a couple of minutes ago, I'm wondering if maybe we can write a couple of pages or so that says, here's what we really like.
It's going out.
And is someone trying to get in a word edgewise or having a side conversation?
I'm trying to decide if my name should be on this or not.
Oh,
because I can go in and I think I'm going to unschedule it for right now.
Side conversation seems to be.
Thank you. All right.
It sounded promising for a second.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if we want to put together a couple of pages of a statement that says, here is the general things that we really like about this, and we're encouraging our members of the network to submit individual comments.
Yeah.
I've already done that.
I think that is a much more manageable process than, you know, plus, I mean, one of the things Tom said right off the bat was positive. And Ted, thank you for reinforcing that. I think that's an important thing we need to look at, because what Mark just said, and based on Gene's point, there's a lot of good in here. I think we need to focus on that.
In fact, I'd continue that point. You said a couple of pages. I think even a couple of paragraphs alone.
Yeah.
If nothing that you want to say more than you're pleased that, you know, climate change is addressed, that you're making use of the science and the framework. I mean, there are a few little points there I think that would be good, that I think are the significant things to do that. Now, if there are some things that the community thinks. You know, I haven't heard anyone really talk about anything too strongly that is a general statement. I think there's a lot of, and I don't mean this in a derogatory standpoint, nitpicking to do, you know, wording things that have been brought up that are important things to do. But I don't think that those are as big an issue in terms of a joint statement versus individuals. In fact, you could even say something in there. There are a lot of minor details that should be worked in that our individual members will be providing you feedback on, and we strongly encourage you to take heed what experts in this field have to in climate education have to say, something along those lines.
I think that, I mean, this, I am breathing a sigh of relief instead of a heavy sigh if we actually agree to go this way.
Yeah.
It just seems much more manageable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sat in on the NSTA webinar last week on how to, I forget
the exact title of the webinar, but how to manage a study group's feedback or something like that. And I thought, oh my God, we're just not blocking out enough time for this. And just made the essentially the executive decision that the my employer, the Paleontological Research Institution and its Museum of the Earth, would have a brief study session where we talked about how to provide individual comments and how to attack the thing so that people can do it and not provide an institutional response. But talking about it now makes me think that maybe we'll also do a few paragraph response from the museum.
To amend one of my comments, just a second, is one thing I did hear that you should probably talk about whether you want to make this a statement or not, because it's a little bit in the negative category, is are all the core disciplinary ideas actually being reflected by students doing the performance expectations? You know, if kids do that, are we getting enough feedback that they are successful in the performance expectations, that they really know the core ideas that are listed down there? I thought I heard several people sort of raising that question, and that could be something that it seems to me wouldn't be tipping the apple cart, but would be a reasonable negative statement.
Yeah,
or
specific.
What we're saying is that there are things that are captured in the framework or that are in the framework that are not being reflected in the performance expectations. And I think that's a legitimate comment. And I think would be helpful.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the other thing that some of you have pointed to that may be a strategy we want to use is to divvy things up so that when we come together next week, if someone has found something like Frank's comment about the first item that we worked on some wording for, as we go through our specific assigned subsets of the work, if we find something of significant like that, then maybe we could talk about those things next week and include those in our overall comments as well.
Have we got next week blocked out for further discussion?
Yes, we do.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, it's either informal discussion or a continuation of this.
Okay. Well, let me throw it in that spirit of what you just said, Ted. I'm over at the NGSS cross-cutting concepts, looking at systems and systems models.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go there, but one of the things I know our community has really been very focused on and concerned about throughout the network's time is systems thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the cross-cutting statements, and thereby those statements are somewhere in the standards. I don't know exactly where systems and models as a cross-cutting concept shows up and which ones are the ones we care about. But in climate change, it's not there. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, if you don't understand systems, you can't understand climate change. It's just not possible. Especially when you're altering one part of the system, it has implications for other parts of the system. I'm like, that's just odd. Am I wrong in that?
I don't think so.
No.
There is.
Someone in the group looked at the Climate Literacy Principles brochure and used that as a basis to compare to the Next Generation Science Standards. And
that's exactly what I've been doing. This is Scott Carley. I've been doing that, just starting that process. And just directly to Frank's question.
Is that you?
Yeah, this is Scott here. Ask the question, are we capturing what this group has been doing? Is that moving forward into the Next Generation Science Standards? Frank's comment about system models. In some of the charts that I've been playing with, I tell you that systems and systems model, that occurs in the middle school Earth and Space Science human impact. That's one. It does include systems in that, but that doesn't long enough from my perspective.
We got Mark here.
Hello.
Hey, go for it, Mark.
Go ahead, Mark.
It also appears in the elementary level under Earth's systems and their interactions. So there's student demonstrations on design and evaluate a process to or product to minimize unwanted outcomes of human activities on Earth systems while increasing benefits. And this is at an elementary level. And
right.
My question there is that a little too advanced for elementary level?
Yeah, and I think at a high school level.
But again, they in terms of learning progressions, they do have that at the elementary level, so that you can build on that into middle and high school.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that's fifth grade, but still. Yeah, I'm looking at that idea as you, Mark, you're mentioning it, and I mean, hell, if you put that in the Earth systems, I mean, if you look at the Earth systems at the high school level, it's kind of in there, but it's you know, that idea is built more on the models, not on the actual. And maybe that's what they're thinking about. But if you look at this, it's a little bit odd.
Yeah.
This is Marta, and I'm just thinking, just in terms of the systems, that it's so critical to have that, and whoever it was who said, you know, combining the life sciences and the earth sciences, and to make it, you know, personal and visceral for the students as part of their everyday lives to understand how everything is connected, I think is one of the most important things that can be woven through everything. And it also allows for then interdisciplinary collaborations between science teachers and other disciplines as everything is connected.
And that's an overarching recommendation that this group might make.
I'm sorry. I'll call you back at 2:30.
Notice that there is Common Core English Language Arts and Mathematics. Social Studies has yet to be developed, but an awful lot of what we would be interested in is linkages to social studies.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe that they'll be looking for overall recommendations like linkages to social studies curriculum that will be should be undergoing revision as well as these other disciplines.
And so how would that, I would be interested in somehow being a part of that if possible. I don't know how that's happening or if that's possible. This is Marta.
Who's speaking?
This is Marta.
Yeah, I'd be interested in those conversations as well, although I'm not 100% sure it's what we're working on right now.
I think it's a really important part because you can't really get at the systems unless you deal with the human social systems as well.
Right,
exactly.
Right. Well,
it's also the nature of science, and it's sometimes called the historical and personal perspective.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And there have been pieces here in talking about whether the standards accurately capture that element. One of NSTA's comments back in when the framework came out in terms of recommendations to achieve was the need for more about the nature of science.
Mm-hmm.
And then jumping back just a second, I missed a little bit of the conversation, but in talking about the social studies and things, one person you possibly reach out to is Jill Wertheim at the National Geographic Society, who has been doing a lot of work in the area of geoscience, being both geography and geo as in earth science standards.
I just want to say for clarification, it's more than just the history of science and the people involved. It's more than just geography. It's the socio-political systems, the economic systems.
Right.
Yeah. It's the scientific enterprise.
Right.
Well, but
no, beyond the scientific enterprise, into the social and political systems.
It's recognizing that Gaylord Nelson quote of the economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment for is one piece of it anyway.
Right.
But you know that if you look at the engineering side of this equation, I mean, let's not forget that that's sitting out there.
Right.
And if the high school links among engineering, technology, science, and society, that set of ideas, you know, there's the in the cross-cutting concept, assistability and change. Some of what we're talking about is in there. And this is a really hard thing for us to see where our thinking sits. And it's a little bit here and it's a little bit there because that's just the nature of our damn topic. It's all over the place. But it's some of this isn't been, and so the coherence of pulling out of all of these different pieces a rich practice. Oof, man, I my head is hurting. And I didn't even write the damn thing.
Yeah.
I thought climate literacy was a problem. But you know, I mean, I think, you know, Karen, the whole idea of competencies, right, that's in the environmental literacy national evaluation framework, like the skills that we're looking for, the ability to understand the connections between society, engineering, culture, and scientific endeavors and systems that we, in natural and human coupled systems, woof. I mean, to be able to be skillful in that and knowledgeable, is that's a tall order, and it's kind of in here. But, I mean, Ted, are the cross-cutting concepts editable?
I think there's more leeway there than there is with the core ideas. Again, because I said that, you know, the framework only sort of spelled it out, spelled out sort of a K-12 version of this, not the grade by grade progression.
So I think
there's more play there than there is in the core ideas. I think particularly in the topic area that we are in, that Achieve is not going to want to deviate one comma from what is in the
NRC.
In the NRC, and I think most of the people in this room would agree with them.
And is the same true for the science and engineering practices?
Again, I would say the same class as the cross-cutting concepts.
I see.
I think my impression is that more energy has been focused on the practices throughout this whole process and the cross-cutting concepts, so I think there may be some more, since things probably haven't gelled quite as much, I think a lot of people are still struggling about how cross-cutting concepts fit into the whole process here. They've got practices and content worked out, how those fit together. But I've heard some people who are very immersed in this project still say they're wrestling with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think it's really important for us to pose and get Achieve to think about how to make this document inclusive when the social studies standards come out, because I think one of the incredible strengths of it is the ELA and math core linkages at the bottom there.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't do the same with social studies, then we're going to be missing a link.
Of course. Without question. I mean, and it's that interplay, right? So the engineering side of the equation opens the door to the beginnings of that while we wait for the – well, we're not going to wait, but, you know, so, I mean, I'm looking at the science and engineering practices, the PDF that you pointed out. And by the way, Ted, thank you for that. I mean, because you're looking at – it's easier to read this than it is to read each one of these things. But some of these practices seem a little on the stuff we're talking about, a little bit incomplete. Because one of them is about constructing explanations and designing solutions. And a lot of the stuff we're talking about is designing solutions to systems failure. And so, you know, how I haven't gotten into the stuff yet, but, I mean, it seems like certain times they haven't applied that set of practices in places that would imply that you need to have that practice. Is that something where we can add?
Think you're on a good track here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's because it's problem solving.
Absolutely.
And problem solving is engineering is sort of the problem solve. If you look at the first science and engineering practice, they list 8 different ones. And the first one is to ask a question, which is our traditional scientific inquiry. That also says, or define and address a problem. And that's what the engineers do. So this opens up and then the other place where science inquiry and engineering
design diverge a little bit is that scientists are more focused on offering the explanation of the phenomena, mm-hmm. and the engineers are more focused on offering solutions to problems. So I think what's happening here is engineering opens up the problem-solving skills to address these problems that are being created by whatever the natural world is doing and what we humans are doing interacting with it. But it mostly opens up technological solutions, which is different from social solutions, which
right.
we would look to the social studies curriculum to produce in our not too distant future, we hope.
I completely agree, because if you look at the guiding principle from climate, a lot of the stuff are social solutions, not only technological solutions or
yes.
policy solutions that imply relative to technological issues. And so, you know, it's just trying to figure out where that sits.
Right.
Yep.
And do the this is Marta, and do the humanities and arts then fit within the social solutions and social studies, or could they? Because so many of the policy issues really have to do with attitudes, values, and beliefs, and that's where we always get stuck.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think this is where we're going to see a lot of pushback from the folks like the Heartland Institute and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at the middle school human impacts, where they're talking about design engineering solutions for stabilizing changes to communities by doing things like reducing the release of greenhouse gases, but also the next one down, ask questions to refine and develop an explanation for the way technological monitoring of the Earth systems can provide information for the public to modify their impacts. I mean, that's getting into very much policy-related stuff. So you can bet that some of the criticism of this will be around how you're trying to brainwash our kids to become,
uh-huh.
you know, liberal eco-nuts or whatever.
Or just sustainable.
Yes.
So, hey, Mark, which one was that?
I think I'm on the right page. It's
it's D.
Middle school human impacts.
My question here is that it seems pretty advanced for a middle school student.
Well, this is what Tom was saying about the is there evidence to support this being here this way?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a tricky thing.
Very much so.
I mean, Ted, you have a lot of experience in this. I mean, is there learning progressions research being applied in some of this stuff?
I
know, right?
It's there's just other than a few different places, and climate is not one of them. Learning progressions, aren't fully research based. I mean, in terms of
right.
students. I mean, it's based on research that is out there. But as far as a full progression to talk about it in that standpoint, and you go back to I'd like to scroll down the pages. What are the core disciplinary ideas that are being called on here?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's there, then I think you rest on that. These are things that the Academy has said. I'm trying to skim through here. Humans, I would bet you, especially in this area, that these are all, that the science behind these are all appropriate. One thing I'll say, this is speaking broadly, not just in the area of climate change, I think if you do my impressions, and, in some cases looking specifically and doing a comparison, that statements in the framework at grade level X, if you go back to benchmarks or the National Science Education Standards, that they are frequently at a higher grade level. I'm not saying it's the majority of the time, but it's rare that stuff that's in benchmarks or NSES at a given grade level is at a higher grade level here in this in the NGSS. It's more likely that they've been shifted down some, if it's been shifted at all. And what adds to that complexity is that when you combine this with the practice, it's no longer just sort of knowing Yeah, knowing the story, it's you really have to know how scientists figured out the story, which is a much bigger thing to know. You know, it's not just, and it's a good thing in some cases, but, you know, if it's, you know, where you might have wanted students, I'm going to play with this and not even looking at the document right now, you know, you might have expected the elementary students would know that the Earth is warmer today than it was, on average, the decades, centuries ago or whatever, that would cut it to just knowing that in the way these standards are formed. They would have to understand the whole evidence about how we figured that out, and that makes it a much more complex thing cognitively for students than what we may have traditionally said. Oh, yeah, elementary kids can learn that, the Earth is about, global warming. That's, but it's now... How do we know what the temperature was, 3,000 years ago? That's a big, big leap to do. It's a type of leap we want students to do, but the question is, at what grade level is it appropriate for them to do that? And it may not be where it has been in classrooms today of them just knowing that it occurred, but not knowing how we know it.
Right.
Did I make any sense there?
Right.
Okay.
But the thing that's so interesting, this is Marta again, is the how we know it part is what makes it can make it exciting for the student to try to embrace science. In the sense that, it's the idea that students could be empowered to figure out something themselves as well. Like some human figured out, or humans figured out how we know it. And so, it's like that kid who found the dinosaur tooth in his backyard or whatever it was just recently. I just remember, and I don't want to derail this, but, it's the thing that was always hard for me with science is that it just seemed like it was some theory. It wasn't real. And so somehow, if making it personal can somehow be in there, however it's appropriate, that would be cool.
I would share with the group that we don't know a lot of the learning progressions. We sometimes make our best guesses on that at this point in time. But for this group, Andy Anderson has done a lot of research on our understandings about carbon and how carbon moves through the Earth system. And so that's one place where you can get a little bit of science education research evidence to back up claims about what grade level that kids can understand this stuff in. I think he's doing some work on water carbon cycle.
Can you send us a citation or some pointers to that?
I will scrounge something up and send it in to share with the group.
Great, thank you.
Great. I don't know where to go here.
I'm thinking we got 25 minutes left.
I think just to go maybe to hit on whether we've got some agreement here on some pieces, just so we don't run out of time at the end. It seems to me there's a couple paragraphs or a set of bullet points, and I would suggest that those be crafted and then also sort of posted on the listserv or whatever we call that piece, so that people can start thinking about it and making some possible suggestions before next week. And then I think there's everyone can be looking for particular points that they think are important discussion points for next week's meeting, and maybe post those as well, or send them in to whoever it is who's moderating next week, and then possibly making a sort of agenda of here are some items that there seems to be some real resonance around and deserve some additional discussion.
Mm-hmm. And I think to add to what Ted said, which I agree, I think before we leave today, we ought to do a brain dump of some of the overarching things that we've talked about so we don't lose them.
Yeah, that would be very helpful. I'm planning... Tomorrow I'll be on the road a lot, and if Scott has the recording of this up before I leave, I'll listen to it again on my drive. And then I'm thinking I'll try
by Friday noon to send out some kind of summary, but doing a collective brain dump would be great before we wrap up. And actually, we can, on this document, we can plugging in stuff together. So if folks want, I should add another page for brain dump or something like that. People can just take a cell and type things in there or something.
Well, but I mean, just on this page right here, I'm thinking that probably we want to use the code system in column A, so mm-hmm. that we know where we're talking about. And,
yes, absolutely.
You know, and then B is more what the actual text of the performance section. We need a header at the top of this so that we get some consistency in how we, like a new one needs to be added so that we just push. I mean, if that's what the comments are, then what's 1B? You know what I mean? I guess that's what you're doing now. It was jumping all over the place.
Yeah.
And then what's B and so on.
Yeah. In fact, I might argue that there might be an additional column between A and B, or maybe I'm not understanding totally how this is set up, but said here it's high school Earth and Space Sciences, climate change, but then I think a second column might be where on the page or where you're referring to. So, you know, so is it performance expectation A, or is it third bullet core idea? I mean, it doesn't, there can be a little bit of flexibility how to people reference it, but somehow of where on that standard, where in that standard are you looking?
Right. And so, like, the options would be in parentheses after that. So you're talking about performance expectations, practices, core ideas, cross-cutting. You know, what's the part you're focusing on? Is that what you're talking about, Ted?
Yep.
All right.
Performance expectations, what are my other labels here?
Practices, core ideas, cross-cutting.
And links.
And connections to engineering.
And then connections. Is that?
That's in link.
Oh, yeah, connections.
Connection.
The bottom of the page. I think very few people will make a reference to that, but I, you know.
In there.
It's one of the places.
Yeah. This is Scott. I have something that I've been kind of wondering whether we might want to look at this. When I started looking at all of the standards, this is kind of a broader question. It seems like there are a set, and I'm suggesting maybe even just only five of the standards that are really core to, for the lack of a better word, you know, a climate change learning progression. So there's five of those that I think are pretty obvious. They have the word climate and the more weather or human impact. And then when I was playing with this, I went through and just looked at taking those as the five core ones. What are the ones that achieve linked to other either cross-cutting ideas or the disciplinary ideas? And just to try to figure out what are the other standards. And so I come up with a list of about another 20 or so, which I would call sort of secondary standards that are related to climate but are not climate directly. And I'm just wondering whether it might be useful for us to make a distinction between sort of primary standards and secondary standards, if I can call them that, related to climate change, and that we really focus our attention, and this is an idea that came up almost an hour ago, just focus on maybe just those five performance standards. And that's where our principal investigation discussion is on those first five. And if we feel like there's other comments that we want to make or that members of the network want to comment on some of the other ones, that would be great. I'm just, like everyone else, I'm quite overwhelmed with the complexities of all this. And as somebody who's definitely transdisciplinary in my own perspective on this, everything is relevant. And I just find that it's really helpful just to focus on maybe four or five of these standards and go from there.
Well, Scott, there's one concern I have in that. I agree with the basic tenor. I'm just not sure I agree with the five. Maybe we need to be specific about which five of those are. And I'll give you an example. All the way back when, I think it was Gene who mentioned the natural selection evolution high school one. And we looked in there, and we were looking at, D in there, and that's completely related to essential principle 3 of climate literacy.
Right.
in a very nice way.
Right.
And so, you know, there might be like the whole set, but then there are a couple core performance expectations in somewhere else. It's only the performance expectation, not the whole thing, that are really important too.
I agree with you, and indeed, you know, I'm already working on a chart that just literally goes through all of the climate literacy principles and concepts, and then relates them to, you know, well, the four,
right,
or including the connection.
But Scott, are you doing it down at, like, would it be, the code would be HSLSNSE?
You got it.
D? Would you go down to the D level?
Well, I mean, since I'm just doing it myself, I'll one level. I thought that was pretty ambitious to even want to look.
But I'm with you. I'm with you. But I think you take my point. That's like there's a bunch of other things in here that are really solid biology stuff.
But I'm also aware of the fact that we have a week and a half to do it. And this is only the first review of this.
Yeah.
And so I think that the most important thing for us to do is to focus on those four or five standards that we really want to make sure that are solid. And yes, there's more material. This is the whole breadth-depth argument.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to make sure that we have covered the core stuff, and especially that we can get those positive comments so that we don't lose these things in the political rush that's inevitable in the next couple of months.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think about the issue of getting down to the HSLSNSE D level is if what we're going to submit as an organization is a few to several paragraphs,
right,
then getting to the D level there is for the individuals that we're encouraging to.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. So, Scott, can you share your five?
Yeah, there's nothing in it right now because I just set the file up.
Oh, okay.
But I will. That's actually what I want to work on this week. And I absolutely, if there's other folks who want to do that, that's great. But I just felt that the strongest way to at least make sure that we've captured what we have as a network have been doing, which is is reflected in the document, is to start to make that crosswalk between them. And I talked to Bora in terms of what the relationship is with NAAEE, and Ted sent his comments about that there isn't a crosswalk between these standards and the benchmark for science literacy. So we know that much of that work has not happened yet. And I assume, and as I think I made a comment to Ted earlier in an email, my feeling is that this is going to be kind of an essential piece of the promotion of these standards. People are going to want to know, how does this relate to what I'm using now?
Yep. One thing I'll note, Scott, in reply to that, because I think a lot of people want to hear this, ACHIEVE is actually, I think, to a certain extent, I don't think this should necessarily influence anybody, but is discouraging that type of work. In some sense, one of their stated reasons is that, you know, it makes people feel that they're already doing what is being called for here when they think that this is calling for something new to do. I think there's also a little bit of a not wanting to get into, does it have it, does it not have it? That doesn't mean that it's not necessarily useful as a document. I mean, in some reasons, I'm thinking about benchmarks has been thinking about how it would be useful, even just internally, rather beyond whether it's used broadly.
Where I go is, that's really nice, and thank you, ACHIEVE, but the practical thing is that people are going to think about it this way.
I'm not arguing. I'm being the messenger.
Shoot him. But I just think that's an argument that doesn't go very far with me. Is practically, people have been living in this world, for 20 years or so, almost 20 years. And it is the way most senior educators think about this stuff. And the only way we're going to put them, and I think I said to you, that, you know, this brave new world, is we're going to have to show them what the bridge is to that. And simply dumping all of this stuff is not going to get anywhere, from my perspective. We all think about it this way, whether it's the literacy documents or the benchmarks. We're going to have to find a way in which we get from one to the other. I completely agree that this brave new world is a much better world. It looks much more, has a much more vibrant geoscience feel to it and integration with science and society and engineering. I love this place. This is a very nice place that I want to live in for the next while. But I'm also aware that there will be other people who will find it a more difficult place to get to.
Right. So, Scott, if we said five, let's just choose five.
Yep.
Can we do the? I mean, I have my five, but
I have my five. They're probably
so. Does anybody else have a five?
I can make it up fast.
Yeah.
And I think what we're saying is these are the five that everybody will look at, and then if you choose to go elsewhere, you'll need to bring in specifics.
As an individual.
Absolutely.
As an individual.
Right.
It could be so important that we'd want to hear about them next week.
Absolutely. You want to vie for maybe there's a sixth, or maybe it should replace one of the five.
Or maybe it's just a letter.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you guys think? Do you like this
let's
way
hear
of this?
The...
So who's five?
Five? Do you want my
yeah, you got it. You started us. What are your five?
Okay. It's the KWEA, which is on weather. That's the kindergarten one. CWCI, which is weather, climate, and impact. The middle school ESSWC, which is weather and climate systems. Middle school ESSHI, which is human impacts. And the high school ESS, climate change.
Mm.
Right. And it's kind of just what's the ones that have climate in them.
Okay.
I think that'll make a lot of sense too, just because they are building on each other.
Yep.
And so to go through this progression, then, because if you look at them sort of distinctly, I know I was thinking, okay, so there's something missing here, but maybe it was covered in the middle school piece or the elementary piece, and I didn't know that. So I like that because I think that covers the progression of learning that ideally is supposed to be happening.
It's kind of the thread.
Frank, what are yours?
Yeah.
Well, I think I missed one of Scott's before. I only got four in while I was cutting and pasting here. So what did I miss? Can you see that there?
No, I can only see part of your screen, unfortunately.
Okay. Let me, if I slide that over, does that help?
Excellent. It's the other middle school, which is the human impacts. ESSHI.
There we are. Okay.
Those are the four or the five that I initially identified.
So I went orthogonal. No surprise there. I went sideways as opposed to up and down because I figured that's the reality of the subject we're in, is that it's crossing, and if we cover the high school, it implies the progressions down into the other ones, but only partially. So I went natural selection and evolution in the life science, then crossed over into the Earth and space and picked up Earth systems, climate change, sustainability.
Frank,
and then,
can you read the letters that they go?
Sure,
through?
Sure. So it's a HSLS NSE. Then I went over to HSESSES. Then HSESSCC. Then HSESSHS. And then I went over to HS. This is designing and engineering and technology. HSETSETSS.
I like that way though too.
I mean, there's a strategic thinking there because we could do exactly what Scott said, but you get that by going sideways.
Yeah.
Frank,
well,
and I missed
Aaron, and not surprisingly, I'm with Frank, but I also feel a need to add HSPSE, which is the energy one.
Yeah, I had five, Karen.
Okay.
It's circled. I mean, electromagnetic radiation is important too, but energy, I haven't looked into details there, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I had it as a backup six. So,
how about if we split and some people go vertical and some people go horizontal?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Don, the one you're missing is the HSESSES Earth Systems. You can't understand climate change if you don't understand the
Earth
system.
I'm with you on that one.
These are just the ones that link you back into those things. That's where I go. What's the top level?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going for 6 either way you look at it.
Sweet. 6. Awesome.
Okay. That's what we're doing. We're talking.
Which is really 12 now, but that's okay.
It's 24. Let's go 24.
Now, Carrie, you're...
I got nothing better to do.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, if it were up to me and there was only one, I would go with Earth systems.
Yeah.
Can you send us the vertical and the horizontal 6? And it doesn't give us our dirty dozen that we're going to address.
Well, it's in the shared Google document right now.
Yeah, it's the last page in the shared Google doc.
Yeah, it's there. You got it.
Yeah.
Only the heading is 5 instead of 6.
Yes.
There are actually only 5. Line 1 is the person's name, so...
Yeah, there were. We didn't pull the energy over to Karen.
Right.
Would Karen's would be the 6th.
Yeah.
Well, but then we have Earth systems for Scott.
Yep.
Hey, this is Mark. I just would like to make a comment that I think it's important that we do include at least some life science, because as we know, most students take biology; they may not take Earth science.
So Mark, it's in the first one of mine.
No, I know, but that's I think
that's only one.
It's only one of the bunch. So.
Well, the other one that I have circled here is the matter and energy in organisms and ecosystems.
Yeah.
I mean we were jammed into 5, but I mean that's a really important one too if you're going to understand the carbon cycle.
Yeah. I want to go back to a point Frank made earlier that I think that assembling this list is good, but I think people may want to be trying to identify not just these whole standards, but somewhere down the line in terms of climate, the list of all the performance expectations that are appropriate here is a useful tool and may refine it in some of these cases, like the natural selection evolution, like the matter and energy in living systems standpoints, that it won't seem quite so large if you go and you say it's, the 5 to 10 that we've got that are really weather and climate focused, and then it's it's only half of the natural selection or just 2 performance expectations from the natural selection that we're talking about here. That may make it not seem as gigantic. And again, I was going to point, this is an early draft, but somewhere along the line I think it'd be a very useful document for someone to have gone through and said, as you look across all the standards, here's the list of performance expectations that are really significant for the climate.
Right.
For climate. That's something that would be a fantastic resource on CLEAN, even if it's just a link that says here they are, and actually can probably point to them on the Achieve website if they wanted to or something like that. But it's a smaller chunk. One thing that Achieve has talked about, they've put it together in this way on these different sheets of pieces, and they've got, I guess, a little bit of a question, or I'm trying to think of what I'm supposed to say here, or what I can and can't say. The point is that they ultimately mean that all these performance expectations can be sliced and diced in a lot of different ways and can be combined together. So just because natural selection evolution has 5 performance expectations, Achieve is not trying to say that they all have to be taught together as a unit. You could just slice all the stuff that is, climate oriented, all those performance expectations, and put those together to form units that would work well for that. So having those identified would be a useful thing for the field.
To reinforce what you just said, Ted, I mean, I'm looking at the high school physical science energy one that Karen pointed out, and I'm having a hard... I mean, they make a connection to climate change and the other things that we talked about, but, I mean, looking at the performance expectations, one of them is probably going to be the one that's the closest that we would want to focus in on, not all A through H.
Yeah.
And really zoom in on making sure one of these is really hooked right, as opposed to trying to do a global analysis.
Yeah.
But to only not to look at it at all as a group might be a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may be, you know, energy D that we want to look at carefully.
Yeah.
And it also brings the task down to a much finer set.
Mm-hmm. So we may find that there's really only, maybe, I'm just going to guess, but say 10 performance expectations, and these are subparts, that really are relevant to climate literacy.
Right. Right. We expect, you know, all of our systems, all of climate change, and all of, you know, maybe half of sustainability, but then
right.
two in evolution, one in energy, and you know, something in engineering and so on,
mm-hmm.
Just so it becomes a smaller thing.
Well, Frank, what that suggests to me is I'm going through the concepts and essential principles in climate literacy, is it actually going down to this ABCD level in the performance expectations does make sense to be that specific.
Yeah.
So that we can start to see those, we'll be able to very quickly say, ah, yeah, here are the top 10 or top 12 of the performance expectation subparts that are really capture the essence of climate literacy. And
linking those to the orange down below.
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, Scott, one of the things that would be, I think, a benefit for all of us is we don't all need to do that. Now, I'm not saying that it's exclusive, that we could go beyond that, but at least, you know, if somebody said it's really just look in this box and only at that part, I don't have to go in and do that analysis that has been done by others. I can zoom in and start focusing and use my time that way.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was sort of advocating. If somebody or several somebodies could, you know, slice and dice this to say, look at, you know, that, you know, somebody's going to take middle school or somebody's going to take... You know, if Frank took his whole list and Scott took his or Karen took all hers and just went through and pointed out which were the ones that needed to be dealt with on there, that would be assembled that in one place, that would be a useful tool before next week.
So, Don, given that we're at 3 o'clock now, are we starting to help you or are we making things worse in your mind?
or do you want to give assignments?
Yeah, that's where I'm headed, exactly.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like Scott has an assignment he wants to give himself, and I don't want to stop him. So I say, go for it.
About it.
And I'd assign to everyone to go into the Google Doc and plug in things that they think are important to include in whatever it is that we submit. I think particularly what I want are key points, because I've kind of locked on to the idea of something from a few to several paragraphs from the Climate Literacy Network that points to the fact that many of our members will also be submitting individual comments, but the sort of umbrella statement that that is a mostly positive thing that identifies what we think is groovy, and a little bit of attention, specific attention to things that we think need attention.
So, Don, I think if we did what Scott was talking about, which was kind of like a comprehensive, not comprehensive, an analysis of kind of the scope of what we've been thinking about as a community in climate literacy, and how that relates to the scope and of what's in the, mm-hmm. the framework, and seeing if, you know, if there's enough of the hooks and handles in the framework that it would allow the nation to be more climate literate as a result of these standards. That I think that's probably like a global level analysis that you're talking about.
Yep.
Frank, how soon do you expect to get to your cross-cutting analysis?
I want to understand where you're going, Scott, and where you're going to do it, so maybe we can do it together.
Well, what I was going to say, Frank, is if you're going to have time to get to your going across in the next 2 or 3 days, I'd be glad over the weekend to take a look at yours and say, yep, right on, or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, would it be helpful if I broke it down into the practice level, you know, practice A for this, B for that, C and D for that, and this is the constellation of progressions or expectations that really.
Yep, going across for high school, right?
Yeah.
Yep, I'd love to have that.
And starting, you know, the first level, you know, starting at you know, life science, then earth science, then physical, and then engineering, just going
right
down the list. That's in the matrix that NSTA had. I mean, I can do this pretty fast. It's all there, and mm-hmm. we all know these concepts pretty well. That it wouldn't take me very long to do that. I might
great
be able to do it tonight.
Ha! Think of it.
Well, I mean, I just like to get it done.
Yeah. Right.
And where would we put that in the Google Doc that Tamara sent out?
Well, you know, the Google Doc is a spreadsheet, and this sounds maybe more word processy, so maybe a second Google Doc.
It's easier for me to work from a Word doc.
Okay, I can put it in Word. I can make a Google Doc and then submit it to the group for, and then put public edits on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, just so we get a sense of really what's the zooming in, and we can do it there. That's fine, yeah, so we can actually write about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. I'll,
yeah, and I think I will try. My goal will be to have probably just literally like two paragraphs by Friday noon that I'll send, that maybe I'll add to the same document that Frank creates, or maybe it'll be a separate document.
That's fine. Yeah, we can put it at the top or the bottom. Probably easier for it in the same doc. Just
yeah, I think it probably is. Yeah,
Scott, does this line up with what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'll go ahead, I'm certainly not doing a learning progression. Just simply looking at how the concepts and principles relate to, you know, the core ideas, the practices,
right,
and
right
the whatever the other thing, the cross cutting.
Right.
Simply linking those up, and it just simply becomes a chart that says, oh, yeah, as you said, we've covered everything. That's really all we want to establish here for this review.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean,
if it makes sense, I'll just throw it up into the Google Doc, too, though I'll probably finish the draft of it before I put it up, because it'll be like sausage.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to try and get something whole and complete before I throw it up there.
Yeah, I think that's good. And
me
then people
too, me too.
Put it and say, oh, yeah, let's add some of this stuff.
Okay.
I think that will be helpful all around. I mean, as Ted suggested, too.
Okay.
Good.
This is interesting, guys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm feeling so much better.
All about keeping Don happy.
This is a unwieldy beast you got here, Don. it's getting more wieldy.
Are you talking about the standards or the phone call group?
standards. I love the group.
All friends.
It's really invaluable having you guys. It really is.
Yeah.
I've been impressed by everybody's passion. This is Martha. Incredible.
Yeah, we're swinging for the fences, guys. These opportunities don't come every now and then.
No, this is huge.
Right. That's right.
Changing the world, man.
Three or four. Yeah.
If you guys can do those cuts, it really leverages all of us to make those detailed comments on each one of those sections that we can then submit individually.
Right.
But it really gives us all more power by having the focus that you guys are putting on with the longitudinal and the cross section. Thank
right
you.
Yeah.
Good. Not a bad 2 hours' work.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And thanks to Tom, too.
I'm glad we did all that preparation work with other groups to make this able to happen. So that's good, guys. I guess we've blown our time, haven't we?
Yes, we're past
it.
Right.
All right. Everyone have a good week.
Thank you all.
Thanks for everyone.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Bye.